Need an outline. If you'll raise your hand, I'll be sure to get you one of those. Anybody need an outline? Felicia, close this door for me, please.
I just wanted to say something.
Okay.
I think, all right.
Speak up where everybody can hear you.
I'm very thankful for Link Light's attitude towards the children.
Yes, amen.
And the fact that they can praise as little, be in praise as little as they are.
Yes. Yes, I think it is too, Judy. Thank you. Anyone need a Bible? Anyone need an outline? You're welcome, sir. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me get my... Going to ask you, if you will, to stand with me one more time and let us pray together. Today, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I will hear and apply a truth to my life that I might be transformed into His image. Righty, you may be seated. I think that today is probably logically the next step and a progression of an idea or a feeling, a mindset. There's the word I'm looking for. The next step in a progression of a mindset that I'm trying to get us to have as a fellowship. If you stop and think, we've just come off last week. We ended talking about a two-week fast. Several people, as a matter of fact, asked me, why didn't you teach on fasting first and then have the fast? And I'm going to answer that question for you in case you were wondering it and didn't ask me. Because I really didn't think we had 2 weeks to give. That's why. Because I felt like that we were in a pressing manner in such a way that we needed to get into it as quickly as possible to start stirring things in the spirit world and to expose the strong man that is holding us. Now, we need to keep in mind why it was that we fasted. We fasted in order to break a spirit of deafness over our lives individually as well as corporately. It is amazing to me how people will ask me a question about something that we've covered in a sermon just the week before or 2 weeks before. It's amazing to me how I keep repeating things over and over again and people hear it like as if they've heard it for the first time. It's amazing to me how many people, knowing that they shouldn't be involved or doing something, are doing things that they shouldn't be involved in. And it is a spirit of deafness that keeps us from hearing. So once then we start dealing with that, then it becomes important that we apply ourselves to hearing. It becomes important that we apply ourselves to hearing. And so I think that what I want to share with you today is just simply the next progression in that thinking, and that is, there's nothing to all of this but the blood. Being a Christian is not about getting to heaven. Being a Christian is not about creating a cosmic Santa Claus who gives me everything I want. It's not about finding peace in my life. It's not about being a good person. It's not about, well, it's something everybody ought to do. It's not about I don't want to go to hell. It's about Jesus getting a reward for what Jesus did, for what He did for you and me. At a place called Calvary. This is all that's important. Nothing but the blood. Years I spent in vanity and pride, knowing not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me that He died at Calvary. By God's word At last of my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law that I had spurned. Till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Now I've given to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own Him as my King. Now my raptured soul can sing of Calvary. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. It was there that my burdened soul found liberty. At Calvary. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. I am not ashamed. Selah. I am not ashamed. One more time. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the. That word the means singular. It is not a power of God. It is the power of God unto salvation. To salvation to everyone that believes. First, that salvation was offered to the Jew. And then to all of the rest of the world. Turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, writing to Timothy, is trying to explain to his son why life is so difficult for him. For him, Paul. And in verse 12, Paul writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 says, "For which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless, I am not ashamed." I am not ashamed. The world can point its finger. The world can ridicule. The world can say, "I've lost my mind," and I'm praying, "Ah, that I have." They can act like they don't understand what's going on, and you know what? The truth is, they don't know what's going on. The things that we go through as believers, that what makes perfectly good sense to God is foolishness in the sight of man. But what God is doing in our lives, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I believe. And I have been absolutely persuaded that He is able. Yes, He is. To keep that which I've committed to Him against that day. I want to read you that verse. That was King James. Let me read you Amplified. And this is why I am suffering as I do. Still, I'm not ashamed, for I know and am acquainted with Him. I am not ashamed because I know and I am acquainted with Him who I have believed in, who I have trusted in, whom I have relied on, and I am positively persuaded that He is able to guard and able to keep that which has been entrusted to me and which I have committed back to Him against that day. Today, ladies and gentlemen, I'm speaking to you as a pastor. I am speaking to you as a mentor, and I am speaking to you as the man to whom God has given a position of leadership over this fellowship. We may have never had in our lives before a pastor who had a vision for us individually and a vision for us corporately. Maybe we've had one, but their vision for us was misguided or incorrect. Maybe we've had people in our lives who endeavored to point us in the right direction of a right vision, but we just weren't listening. We don't have to know a lot of things to make a big impact in the kingdom. I'm going to say that again. We do not have to know a lot of things to make a big impact in the kingdom. But we do have to know a few things. And we have to know them so well that we are willing to live and to die for what we believe in. You don't have to know a lot of things. You just got to know a few things. But that few things that you know, they got to be something that you are so committed to that though all hell break loose, you hold on to what you know. People who make a difference in this world are not people who have mastered a whole lot of things, but they are people who have been mastered by a few things. Now, I'm repeating myself because I think this is extremely important for us to hear. People who have a huge impact on the world are not people who know a whole lot of things. They are not people who've mastered a lot, but they are people who've been mastered by a few things. And those things guide them and they direct them. They're called principles. They're called foundations. They're called good ideas that they have been mastered by. And I'm going to tell you something. Anybody in this room can have a great impact on this world. As a matter of fact, everybody in this room does have an impact on this world. And what impacts this world is determined by what grips you. I didn't say gripes. I said grips you. What holds you is what you impact others with. And instead of trying to figure out all of the things that we need to grasp, we need to be grasped by a few things and use what is holding us to help hold others. It doesn't make any difference what your age is. It doesn't make any difference what your gender is. It doesn't make any difference whether you're white or black or male or female or rich or poor. Every one of us, if we are willing to be mastered by just a few foundational principles, we can have a huge impact on our world. But you know what the problem is that most people's aspirations in life, hear me now, most people's aspirations in life follow this line. I want to be liked. I want to finish school. I want to get a job. I want to find a significant other. I want to have children. I want to have a house. I want to have a car. And during my life, I want to have great vacations. I want to have grandchildren. I want to grow old and still be healthy. I want to have fun in my retirement. And I want to die easy and go to heaven. Pretty much, that's the line that we follow from birth to death. The question is, do we care whether or not our lives count for eternity's sake? Bob and Penny were offered early retirement from their job. So they both took it. They moved to Florida. bought a house close to the shore, took up golf, bought a small boat, and in the evenings would walk the beach and collect seashells. Ruby was a missionary in South America. She was a nurse. A nurse missionary in South America. There was a church in Minnesota where there was a doctor whose name was Lori. This is a true story. The doctor's name was Lori. She was married. And her church supported Ruby's mission in South America. Lori's husband passed away. Lori sold everything she had, moved to South America, and worked with Ruby, a doctor and a nurse. When they were both in their 80s, they were driving a very small, curvy mountain road. The car went over the cliff, fell down the mountain, and killed them both. Which one of those two stories is tragic? For you see, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. God help Bob and Penny when they present Jesus with their seashell collection, that their life was reduced down to a low handicap and seashells. And God bless Ruby and Lori, who in their 80s continued to serve God faithfully until one day they didn't see Him, and in a few moments they did. For we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one of us may receive the things done in His body according as He had done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Let me read you verse 10 out of the Amplified. For we must all appear and receive as before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive his pay. Each one may receive his pay according to what he has done in the body. There is a day of judgment coming. The tragic story is Bob and Penny's, not Ruby and Lori's. Whether it was good or whether it was evil, considering what his purpose and motive have been and what he has achieved, been busy with, and given himself to, and his attention accomplishing. How then? Yes. Yes. Granted, no, I am not saying that everyone's got to be a missionary into their 80s. Okay? What I am talking about, though, is that I spend more of my life with the trivial and less with the significant than I would like to admit to. And I'll bet you do, too. That the things that are important, or that I deem to be important, are not near as important as what Christ did for me at Calvary. That there is a greater appreciation for what Jesus has done. that we have a tendency in our lives to live in that line that I just read. I just want to be liked, and I want to get out of school. I want to get married and be happy and have children. I want to grow old and keep my health, and I want to die easy. When I die, I want to go to heaven. And that's not what life is about. Life is about laying down our lives. Sometimes we lay down our lives and we never take a foot on foreign soil. But we are, every one of us, called to lay down our lives every day. We are to live with the mindset that I will give an account for how I acted at the glass store. I will give an account for how I treated the lady behind the register at the Walmart. I will give an account for the words that I muttered when I got pulled over on top of on the boulevard. I will give an account for everything that my hands have touched, that my eyes have seen, and that my that I have allowed my mind to entertain. What I'm endeavoring to do today is not call all of us to the mission field, not ask us to jump in a car and drive off of a cliff. What I am asking is that we live with eternity in mind. What I am asking is that we live with eternity in mind. To just keep in our awareness that there is more to life than just paying the bills, raising kids, and getting by. There is a joy unspeakable and full of glory. There's a river of life that flows from out of the spirit and through our belly and out into our lives. We can make a difference. The Bible doesn't say for us to all be missionaries. What it says is whatsoever your hand has found to do, you do that. Whatever that is, you do that as unto the Lord. Brian, if it's driving a cab until you have a heart attack and die behind the wheel, do that as unto the Lord. That whatsoever your hand finds, that is what we do. So how then shall we live? Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. How then shall we live? Galatians 6, 14. May I never boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. The message reads like this: for my part, I am going to boast. I am going to boast about nothing but the cross of our Master Jesus Christ. What does it mean to boast in the cross of Christ? Don't you think that's a little bit of an odd expression? I mean, if we were going to put it into modern vernacular, we would say, I boast in the execution of Jesus. And when I put it that way, that sounds a little strange, doesn't it? I boast in the lethal injection of Jesus. I boast in the electric chair of Jesus. It would really sound odd to say, I boast in the lynching of the Son of God. And yet in Galatians, may I never boast except in that very thing. What an odd expression. Does it really mean what it says? The answer is yes. Because you see, the cross allows me to receive from God grace and mercy instead of what I deserve. Yes, as odd as it sounds, may I never boast in anything other than the execution, the injection, the electric chair, and the lynching of the Son of God, because it is by His death that I am able to experience the mercy and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, every legitimate thought, every legitimate expression, and every legitimate pleasure is a gift from God to you because of the cross. If you have ever stood and watched a sun come up and been blessed by its rising, that was a gift, because you didn't deserve that. You weren't owed it. You hadn't done anything to warrant it. God gives you a gift. If you've ever stood and watched a sun go down, if you've ever watched the birth of a child, if you've ever had a true and honest and strong love from another person in your life, they are all gifts from God. The fact that you are able to sit up straight in your chair, the fact that your eyes work, the fact that your ears are hearing what it is I'm saying, the fact that you can feel emotions in the video that we just got through watching, every one of those is an undeserved gift from God that through His grace and through His mercy, He gives to us because of the cross of Christ. Because all we were ever deserving of was God's wrath and God's anger and God's destruction on top of our head. The reason why Paul wrote to the church at Galatia and told them that they should boast in the cross is because every legitimate pleasure you've ever experienced in your entire life first began at Calvary, passed through the Father's heart, and He dispensed it into your life. The Lord gives. The Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Who is God that man would give Him counsel? Who is God that God would seek out man to pay him back a debt? Who is God that God is an O-O-W-E to any man? But man is indebted to God eternally for how gracious and how good and how wonderful God is. I don't give him advice. I don't call a debt in that he owes me. I am in no position to make any demands on God whatsoever. How then shall I live? I shall live boasting in the cross of Christ. That the fact He gave me a car to drive today, that there's gas in that car, that I am standing up straight, that I am breathing in and out. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, Lori, this is what I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to call us all to South America. What I'm trying to do is that I spend the biggest part of my life looking at what I want and what I don't have rather than appreciating what I do have. And that's not boasting in the cross. I spend more time trying to figure out how to get what I want and how to complain about what I got than I spend being grateful to God for life itself, for having a wife in my life, for having children in my life, for having grandchildren in my life. Sure. Do I weigh what I want to weigh? Do I feel like I want to feel? No. Is everything in my world exactly like I'd like for it to be? No. But you know what? In the midst of all of that, I can stand and boast in the cross of Christ that He will give me the ability to work on the things that are not like I'd like for them to be and to bless His name for the things that are like I would like for them to be. And it just might be that if we'd focus more on what God has done for us, we'd be amazed at how little and how far away and how small the other things really become. How shall I live? Boasting that there's nothing but the blood. Turn with me to Isaiah 26:8. I want to share this with you. Yeah, I did have it. I want to share this with you so we can look at it together. We are in no hurry, God. Now, there's a lie if I ever told it right there. Isaiah 26:8. I just stood right before you as the man appointed to be over this house and lied to you. We are in no hurry, God. I'm in a hurry. About what? About everything. If I'm going to tell you the truth, we're in no hurry, God. We're content to linger in the path signpost with your decisions. Who you are and what you've done are all we'll ever want. Now there, the first part's not where I live. The second part's not where I live either. Not content. But I'll tell you that third part's where I'm trying to get to. I'm trying to get to the part where who you are and what you've done, that's all I'll ever want. Who you are and what you've done, that's all I'll ever want. Who you are, what you've done, that's all I'll ever want. Though the night my soul longs for you, deep from within me, my spirit reaches out to you. How shall we live? We need to learn to live not in a rush, not in a hurry, recognizing that all through our life, all through the path that God has called us to walk, there are signposts that are up going, you're going the right way, keep going. You're going the right way, keep going. You're going the right way, don't quit now. You've come, you've run. You know what? We make fun of the people on the football. If they're running down the field, and they get all excited about getting ready to make it down a touchdown and to do something stupid and get tackled on the 1 yard line. And yet how many of us in our lives do the identical same thing? We get all excited and get distracted from what it is we're supposed to be about, and we get to jumping around and hooping and hollering and doing something foolish, and we fall short of the goal. Don't quit now. On the brink of a miracle. We're in no hurry, God. We're content to linger in the path because every time I take another step, there may be something there that's trying to knock me down, but I see a signpost that says, God loves you. Just keep going. Who you are, what you've done, that's all we ever want. Through the night my soul longs for you, deep from within my spirit, it reaches out to you. All right, turn with me one more scripture reference then. Turn with me to Acts chapter 20. But there is another urgency before me now. I feel compelled to go to Jerusalem, Paul said. I'm completely in the dark about what will happen when I get there. I do know that it won't be any picnic. For the Holy Spirit has let me know repeatedly and clearly that there are hard times and imprisonment ahead. Now, stop right there for just a second. Paul, writing here in the book of Acts, says, I don't know what's going to happen in Jerusalem, but I've had a little talk with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's told me two things. Number one, times are going to get tough. Now, if Paul was alive today, we would tell him if things were getting tough, it would mean because God wasn't blessing him, he's obviously doing something wrong. That's what we'd tell him in our little faith, in our little Americanized gospel today, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
Well, if you're having a hard time, Paul, you must be doing something wrong. In our little Americanized gospel, that's the way we preach it. But that's not the way Paul believed it. Paul said, I spoke to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit told me, it's going to be not only tough, you're getting ready to go to jail. You're going to jail. But the next line reads, but that matters little. But that matters little. What matters most to me is to finish what God started. Now that is what I'm talking about this morning. Makes no difference. Little a bit of hardship here and there, a little buffeting, a little iron sharpening iron, a little sore spot every once in a while. Hey, so my car got broke into. So what? I didn't get broke into. Just a car. It's just glass. It's just a GPS unit. So I have to sit for 3 hours down at the glass shop. It's on that part of South Boulevard. I don't know that road. I think it's Scaly Bark that comes in right there too. There is nothing there except businesses. It wasn't like there was a mall I could have walked down to or a shopping center. There wasn't even a restaurant. I mean, there wasn't nothing there. There was nothing. Now, if I'd have got up Saturday morning and you said to me, guess what's in your day today? 3 hours of nothing. I'd have told you you was a moron. I ain't got 3 hours to do nothing. Obviously, I was the moron. Obviously, I did have 3 hours. But you know what really matters? That I finished the race God set before me. Because when I got up and I was driving over there with that wind blowing in and it 32 degrees Saturday morning, I didn't know that I was going to have a 3 hour wait, but guess what? God knew it. When I woke up Saturday morning, God was already awake. Looking down at me going, God's surprised for you today. You going to be happy with my gift? Or are you going to act like a child and throw a temper tantrum? Scream and holler. Fuss and cuss. Jump up and down and act like an idiot. The choice is yours. Well, what matters most to me is to finish what God started. The job the Master Jesus gave me of letting everyone know I meet me of letting everyone I meet know. There we go. I can read. All about, look at these words, the incredibly extravagant generosity of God. That's the job right there. What does God want me to do? God wants you to tell the world about the incredible, extravagant generosity of God. We're not concerned about South America. We're not concerned about any of that. We're concerned about our hand being on the plow, doing what God has set before us today, and telling everyone who crosses our path about the incredible, extravagant generosity of God, because God is good. And what matters to me is that I finish the course. That I don't fall down on the 1 yard line. And everybody in the stands laugh and jeer and boo and scream because I acted the fool somewhere along the line. What's important is that I finish the course, that I cross the line, that there is laid up for the overcomer a crown of righteousness that I will be able to approach the throne with and lay my crown at His feet. That's what matters. And I think on the tail end of us being deaf, I am praying to God today that your ears are open to hear what really matters. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? What matters most? Is that a finish? A finish strong? A finish full of faith? A finish full of hope? A finish full of grace? And a finish full, and here's my favorite word, of trust. Because God, I do trust you. I sat for that 3 hours yesterday going, there's a plan here somewhere. There's a plan here somewhere. There's a plan here somewhere. Did I ever see it? Nope. Is the plan still there? Yep. Because I trust God, there's a plan here somewhere. There's a plan here somewhere. And guess what? Today's Sunday. There's a plan here somewhere. For my afternoon, for my evening, for my night. And if God grants me a renewed mercy tomorrow morning, there's a plan there somewhere. Because it's new every morning. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me that He died at Calvary. But I thank God I know it now. God, we thank You for the cross of Christ. It matters little. Because what we want to do is finish the race. And we want to rejoice in Your incredibly extravagant generosity. We love You. Bless You today. God, whatever this week holds, we entrust it to You. Whatever attack the enemy is mustering, we entrust it to You. And we purpose, to the best of our ability, to lift our eyes to the hills from which cometh my strength, and to rejoice in You, O God, for all that You are. We bless You. In Jesus' name, amen.